Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Do you still wince about the time your skirt was tucked into your tights? Or that time you accidentally called your GAA coach dad during training? Maybe you're crippled with secondhand embarrassment and you squirm when you see other people doing something mortifying. Well, Dr. Sabina Brennan, psychologist, neuroscientist and author of Beating Brain Fog, is with us to talk through some tips on how to move past those humiliating moments that continue to haunt us. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm wincing just reading about those hypothetical situations.
I know. It brings so many back.
Why do we feel embarrassment, first of all, Sabina?
Yeah, well, the thing is, embarrassment is a self-conscious emotion, you know, and this ability to self-evaluate ourselves actually gave us an evolutionary advantage. Now, the thing is, the self-evaluation associated with embarrassment also involves a moral judgment. I mean, it starts really quite young. Anyone with toddlers will be familiar with their child expressing concern about doing something naughty or expressing pride in achieving something. So not only have they become self-aware of their own actions, but they've also learned to pass judgment based on whatever social norms they've kind of grown up in. So it's really a combination of self-evaluation and the moral judgment based on social norms that are at the core of our feelings of embarrassment.
And these are the social norms that we have learned in our little lives if we're a toddler or a school child who calls teacher mammy. You've crossed a line there that you've been taught not to cross.
Yeah, or where you feel there, you know, where you fear negative evaluation by others. Now, also, we can also experience embarrassment for a different reason, and that's for violating our own self-imposed negative evaluations. So, you know, feeling embarrassed by violating a social norm requires empathy. You know, you have to understand how others might feel in that situation, you know, or observing you. But when we feel embarrassed for violating our own self-imposed norms, that doesn't require empathy. And therein sort of lies a little tip about how you might reduce your feelings of embarrassment. Just show a little bit more empathy towards yourself, or imagine the thing that embarrasses you. Imagine your best friend experiencing the same thing, and you'll feel very empathetic towards them. And then mirror that back at yourself, so and you might lessen the embarrassment.
Cut yourself a little bit of slack.
That's it, exactly.
Are there certain types of people or different professions that are more prone to feeling embarrassed than others?
Well, the thing is, because embarrassment is linked in some ways to that capacity for empathy, yes, I suppose so. And you know, we all have empathies in varying degrees. In fact, you know, one twin study showed that understanding someone else's perspective, which is referred to as mentalizing, is actually more heavily influenced by genetics. But resonating emotionally with the experience of others, you know, aka empathy, is more influenced by learning and experience. And that's a good thing. It means we can kind of learn how to be empathetic. And, you know, empathy is good. You know, again, most of these things evolve for a reason. It, being able to feel another person's pain or distress motivates us to respond with compassion and offer assistance. And that means we can provide aid to other people and expect aid in return. And it contributes, you know, that motivation contributes to our survival as a species. But you mentioned then certain professions. So initially, certain people with, you know, who are very empathetic may be, you know, drawn to what we might call those caring professions. But unfortunately, you know, an empathy overload can occur and lead to burnout and sort of an emotional shutdown. You know, doctors, therapists, aid workers, first responders, those kind of things, or journalists in, you know, very war zones or whatever. And, you know, the hard reality is it doesn't happen to everybody, but it's sort of a protective mechanism in a way. And the hard reality is for doctors, empathy declines as students actually progress through their medical training.
Oh, so these are the very professions where you need empathy, and you're saying it's on a declining scale.
Yeah,
the more
but
you're
also, you know, but there's this fine balance between, you know, too much empathy can completely paralyze you. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, because if someone in a caring profession is overloaded by empathy, they may be paralyzed and unable to help you. So, you know, empathy isn't always a good thing. Sometimes less is more, in a sense. It allows you actually to provide the care that somebody might need.
Okay, well, let's come back now to embarrassment and the physical manifestation of it. So people's faces might go red, get sweaty hands. What's happening in the brain when this happens to the body?
Yeah, essentially, it's just the stress response, the physiological stress response. Blushing is a natural bodily response that's triggered by your sympathetic nervous system. And essentially, that system activates the fight or flight response. And, you know, it naturally occurs when there's actually a threat, but it can also be triggered by the onset of a really powerful emotion or stress or embarrassment, as we've just spoken about. It's just the blood vessels in your face getting wider, and that increased blood flow in a fight or flight response will allow more oxygen to come to your lungs so that you can flee, run away or fight, etc.
You know, and it's really intriguing as well that for some people, when you even remember an embarrassing incident, it might have happened, you know, 5 years ago, you have the same physiological response. Why is that happening?
Absolutely. You know, stress doesn't have to be real. I mean, even just imagining stress will elicit the stress response. That's why we have psychological stress, because a lot of our stress in life is psychological. It's imagining things that might happen, or imagining things that have all, or, you know, going over, rehashing things that have already happened in the past. So, it, you know, thinking is, you know, a very powerful behavior. But also, blushing mightn't be such a bad thing if your listeners are listening and going, oh my God, I blush all the time, I hate it, you know. Research has actually shown that those who blush are more likely to be forgiven by other people, which can avert conflict. And obviously also comes down to empathy too. You know, because you see someone blushing, you say, oh my God, they feel awful about this.
Oh, now you're touching on something really interesting. So what if you're the person who has to say to the other person, I think your zip is down. You know, it's hard sometimes to get the words out. But you cringe.
Oh, there's toilet paper sticking out.
Oh, listen. Yeah, no, you don't want to go there, do you?
That's one of mine in a nightclub, yes.
Oh, gosh. But when you what is it saying about us when we cringe when we have to deliver news to somebody else? So they're clearly going to be embarrassed, maybe, probably, likely.
Yeah.
But why are we cringing?
Yeah, I'm a complete cringer. I can't even watch some certain programs on television like The Office. Look, our experience of, you know, some people refer to it as secondhand embarrassment or vicarious embarrassment. And again, it's related to our ability to empathize, you know. So it's something that's evolved that allows us live harmoniously within a community. And when we recognize embarrassing situations for others, certain pathways in our brain are activated. And these regions that are activated when we get that cringe factor are also implicated when we experience social pain related to the experience of others. So again, it's about being sort of social creatures and being just able to step into somebody's shoes, you know, to be able to understand how they're feeling. But also that evolved in a way, it allows us, it gives us that evolutionary advantage, because being able to step into someone's shoes also allows you to be able to predict their future behavior, which again could be protective if somebody looks like they might be going to attack you or whatever, you know. So it's all about interpreting signals.
So if embarrassment is a problem, if you feel, as you say, oh, I'm blushing and I don't want to blush, and that creates a longer blush, if you like, are there any tips, Sabina, for dealing with this, for being able to cope with it?
There are a few things. Excuse me, just embrace the blushing. That's fine, you know, even talk about it. But, you know, thinking about things, if certain kind of memories kind of feel intrusive and come back and make you feel uncomfortable, you know, it's good to think of thoughts as a process rather than a thing, you know, that you're thinking about something. You can simply acknowledge the thought and let it go rather than trying to fight it, or, you know, and just say, you know, there's that thought again, or actually chat to somebody about the situation, somebody that you can trust, because that can also you know, lessen its impact or hold on you. And you can examine it and explore it and give it some context and actually some perspective.
Yeah, it's not as bad as maybe you have built it up to be in your mind.
And the thing is, mistakes are valuable. It's how we learn. We need to, you know, make mistakes in order to progress.
All right, Sabina, thank you very much indeed. That's Dr. Sabina Brennan, who is author of Beating Brain Fog and a psychologist and neuroscientist. Coming up, 50 years on from Bloody Sunday, a new book tells about the 50-year impact of that day on so many people in Derry and beyond.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.